Hello everyone and welcome to this special edition of the Innovation Agency podcast. It's Phil Jennings here. I'm at the Health Excellence Through Technology, or HET show, here at the Excel in London. We've gathered to consider a wide range of issues, and among them the aftermath of the pandemic and what we can do to support efforts to reduce the backlog in operations. I've just chaired a discussion with a number of guests who I'm delighted to say have agreed to take part in this podcast. So joining us today, I have Alison Johnson, who is the Director of Programs and Projects with Orca, Pip Hodgson, who's the Head of National Digital Products at NHS England Transformation Directorate, Sarah Dugan, the former Director of Population Health Intelligence at North Central London and now an independent consultant, and also Tara Scott-Souter, the Director of Customer Success at Induction Healthcare. So ladies, thanks for your time in joining us today. So Tara, tell me, does technology have a part to play in tackling the backlog?
Absolutely it does. I think giving patients the opportunity to access information around their needs specific to them, which is safe. I think they need areas where they can communicate with this service, but in an appropriate way. And the ability to just generally feel more in control of their own destiny. Because by doing that, they naturally feel more engaged and then obviously are going to adhere to the requirements that you need to make for them. In terms of how it helps with the backlog, if you're giving a patient more control over their appointment booking, then they're more likely to turn up, so less likely to DNA. And then the second piece around that really is that if you do need to cancel, the service know ahead of time, hence being able to reallocate that appointment to another patient in need and helping bring down the backlog.
So Alison, can I ask you what kind of innovations have come to light which you feel will make a difference?
Yeah, I think actually just thinking about how digital health technologies can be used across the elective care pathway and breaking that down into four key areas. So we've looked at what happens with patients, you know, how do we keep them well whilst they're waiting? What are the digital health technologies that can really support patients whilst they're waiting at home? We've looked at prehab, so for patients that maybe need a bit more intervention whilst they're waiting, a bit more surveillance. Again, what's, you know, there's some great apps, things like All Eye, which is an optional retinal screening tool that you can actually use through your smartphone, so you can monitor your own condition. There's a whole host of great technologies around surgical efficiency, around the whole perioperative cycle of care, again, that actually can really streamline process within an acute setting. And I think finally for me, the post-recovery element and patient-initiated follow-up. So how do we keep patients well and assured at the point at which they leave that care so that they're accessing the right information through a series of technologies that will actually keep them safe whilst they're waiting at home, or actually negate the need for a follow-up appointment in some cases? Those would be where I see digital health technology really making a difference. I actually use the technology every day, an asthma one. It was referred to me by my GP surgery. I complete it every day, and it's become part of the annual review process that I then have with the practice nurse. So it actually assures me that I'm doing the right thing on a daily basis, and that I'm managing my condition. But actually, as part of the annual review that I then have at the practice, it shortens that because they've got the data to hand. I can show them at a glance how I've been doing over the course of the year, and it's just routine for me. But it's actually also allowed me to take control of my medication, because I've been able to get a reduction in the medication that I'm using, and they've got the data that demonstrates why that can take place. So that's an efficiency in itself.
So Sarah, can you tell me how important is data when it comes to deciding where we begin?
So I think having data is crucially important. The NHS collects loads of data but doesn't use it very much compared to the amount of time it spends collecting it. I used to work in North Central London. We had created a single patient tracking list for elective recovery. We joined it up with our GP data and other data like the hospital data, and it was allowed health and care professionals to see which patients were waiting. It allowed us to see, so GPs for the first time could see where their patients were on different waiting lists. It was updated every 24 hours, so at inequities on the waiting list, and understand where we needed to take further action to reduce inequity.
And I understand that there's some new support for secure data environments that's recently been announced.
Yes, there are. NHS England has just put out an expression of interest for secure data environments for research and development. I think alongside other investments in setting up secure data environments for planning and also the interoperability for data around direct patient care, I think they're going to be crucial in enabling academic researchers and also companies in securely and in the NHS's control in developing algorithms and other analytics that will support the NHS in improving health and particularly around the elective backlog.
So Pip, you've been heavily involved with the NHS app and the Wayfinder programme. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and the impact potentially that can have on patients?
Yeah, definitely. It's really important that we want people to be able to, you know, self-serve, self-manage their care better so that we can shift demand away from trust, from general practice, from parts of the system that we know are already stressed. So Wayfinder is about bringing together in one place the ability for people to manage appointments where they might already exist in hospitals or trusts or anywhere else in the system. We know that there are companies out there that do that already, but actually trusts might have more than one company doing it. The format might not be in the same way. It might not be easy for them to access. So what we're looking to do is to aggregate it through the NHS app, through a single front door that allows people a consistent journey and a positive experience to managing that better. It's going to be the start of bringing these things together. It's going to be a start of understanding how people use this service. It's going to be a start to understand what effect genuinely does this have on general practice and for the elective care backlog. If you remember, Sajid Javid, Notion does to be able to reduce or to have the backlog down to less than a million by 2024, and digital is the first step for doing that, but it won't be the only step. So it's about how we bring everyone together on this initiative, working with portal providers that already exist, using the NHS app as a front door, and supporting the workforce to be able to deliver that for patients ultimately.
So Pip, you know I'm a GP, and we spend a load of time in practice dealing with queries about, am I on the list, where am I on the list, will you move me up the list? Well, when this app is now fully developed, do you think that's going to be able to relieve some of that workload from primary care?
I know, as British folk, we one love a queue and we two love a list, don't we? As long as it's a VIP list, yeah, of course. Do I think it's going to help? No, but what I think it will do is it will start to exacerbate the situation, or people will know that they have an appointment. Where that appointment is, they will be able to then manage that appointment, be able to say, actually, I'm not comfortable that it's at 2 o'clock because I've got to go and pick my kids up at 3 o'clock, so I can't make it. So actually, I'm going to book an appointment that I can see that works better for me. I'm probably going to be more reliant on making that appointment rather than DNAing because it doesn't fit in. We also, I think it's super, super important for referrals, more so than any other pathway, is actually when you cancel that appointment, people do not know that they then have to go back to their GP to then be referred again for the appointment that they then lost. So I'm also hoping that with regards to a list, people know and understand what that actually means. So actually, if they genuinely want to cancel it, they're cancelling it knowing they're not going to get another one, or actually they can just rebook it or manage it and know that they're going to be elsewhere in the system. So do I think it's going to help with demand management? Who sees? Yes, it will. But I'm hoping what it will do is it will make it more accessible so people can actually see, and that's the start of this journey.
It is. That sounds great. I'm very much looking forward to that. So any final thoughts as to where you'd like to be, say, this time next year?
The COVID pandemic has, I think it's been instrumental in getting different parts of the NHS to work together and also with local government. And I think that's a great thing for digital and data interoperability. And we need to build on that, that trust that has formed and the drive for collaboration, and particularly to reduce health inequalities.
I think two things for me. I think the first is that I'd like to see digital health technologies actually embedded into the pathways around elective care. So at the point at which you're added onto a waiting list for your specialty, you're signposted to the appropriate technology that's going to support you while you're waiting. I think the second thing is around digital education, and that actually it will be just part of anyone's induction. As soon as they start into a role within the NHS, it will be an annual process that will actually build your education, and would like to see that as well, and part of the medical curriculum too.
And I think for me, integration, integration, integration and automation is absolutely key to the success of technology being embedded in healthcare. Anything that we can do to make things simple and easy for the clinical teams, for the service teams, for the patient teams, it is the only way we are going to succeed. And I think that has started with NHS login, because if you are a provider of services, you have to go through some stringent and robust vetting procedures to be able to do that, and the NHS app. And I would like to see, pretty much we heard today a lady say that there are lots of apps. How does a patient know what's safe? And I think we just need to do a bit more work around that and identify those. And I think as a sign right now, if you've got somebody that's got NHS login, you know that organisation, as we said earlier, is nice regulated, has been through those appropriate checks.
So thanks all for talking. Alison Johnson, Director of Programmes and Projects with Orca. Pip Hodgson, Head of National Digital Product. NHS England Transformation Directorate. Sarah Dugan, former Director of Population Health Intelligence, North Central London. And finally, Tara Scott-Souter, Director of Customer Success, Induction Healthcare. And thanks also to you for listening. This is Phil Jennings. Subscribe for more podcasts from the Innovation Agency and the Academic Health Science Network.